Take your Bibles and turn, please, to John chapter 11. If there's one thing that Easter Sunday represents, if there's one thing that this day brings to us, one thing, it is hope. Easter Sunday is not about bunnies and colored eggs. It's about the hope that Jesus brings to us through his resurrection. And the hope that he can bring to us even in the midst of your darkest moment in life when all hope seems to be gone. Because of this Sunday, there is hope. And I have no doubt that some of you here today are in the middle of a situation that you would describe as hopeless. Perhaps this morning, even on this beautiful Sunday, your marriage is at a point where you would say, it's just about dead. It's hopeless. Maybe you have a child who has gone astray, and you've prayed for years, and you look at that situation again this morning and you say, it seems hopeless. Maybe your work situation, maybe your health, maybe a lost loved one that you've prayed for who seems to show no interest whatsoever in the things of the Lord. And you say, I've tried everything, and there's no hope left. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus alone stands ready to bring hope into that hopeless situation. And I want to speak to you this morning about the hope that Jesus can bring into any situation in your life today that you would describe as hopeless. I've entitled this message, Bringing Dead Things Back to Life. Bringing Dead Things Back to Life. John 11, 1. It says, Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he rushed off immediately to heal him. You following? He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, yet, look what it says in verse 6. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, for time's sake, let's jump down to verse 17. The messenger has taken a day now to bring this message to Jesus. Jesus has waited 2 days, and now he has made the trip back to be with Martha and Mary in Bethany. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in this moment that we would have the self-discipline to push everything else out of our minds and to focus only upon you and your word. You've said that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it is sent out to do. And I pray, Lord, on this Sunday morning, this Easter Sunday morning, that your word would accomplish what it needs to in our lives. As we look outside on this beautiful day, and we see the colors of spring bursting forth into new life. What a timely reminder this season is of the Sunday morning that your Son burst forth into new life. And we cannot help but look at this beauty that is blossoming around us without thinking of the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for that reminder. Lord, our souls are so thirsty for you today. And we call out to you and we ask this morning that you would fill us with your presence and your power. And we pray that you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Mary and Martha were facing a desperate situation. Their brother, whom they loved dearly, was very near death at the point where they sent word to Jesus and called out to him, asking for his help. I love the message that they sent. Nothing detailed. They didn't even mention Lazarus's name. They simply said, "The one you love is sick." Wouldn't you love to be on Jesus' short list? You don't even have to mention his name. "Lord, the one you love is sick." And they cried out to him, knowing that things were desperate now. The doctors could do nothing. There was no one else that they could turn to for hope and for help, and they called upon Jesus. And yet, the Bible says that when Jesus heard this news, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Has anybody ever stopped to wonder why 2 days? Why not 6 hours? Why not 3 weeks? Why 2 days? I want to tell you why. This is awesome. If you have never seen this, this is another one of those little hidden nuggets in God's Word. You find them all the time. It's like walking through a field, kicking over stones, and finding gold nuggets underneath everywhere you go. He waited 2 days. And the Bible says that when he did get there, Lazarus had been dead and buried 4 days. Why is that important? The Jews believed. Now listen to this. The Jews believed that when a person died, their soul, this is not biblical, this is what the Jews believed, that when a person died, their soul hovered around the dead body for 3 days. And after the 3rd day, their soul took flight to Abraham's bosom, never to return again. They even believed this so much that when a person died, they would often have what they called a death watch, where they would have people sit near the tomb. Often they would even cut a little slit in the tomb where they could peer in and see the body. And for 3 days they would sit and they would keep a watch on this dead body just in case the soul happened to return back into that dead person's body and bring them back to life. But on the 4th day, all hope was gone. And they believed that if anyone could raise someone from the dead after 3 days, that he must be the Messiah. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's a reason Jesus showed up on the 4th day. He waited until all hope was gone. And he showed up at the point where they were, if you will, packing up their folding chairs from the gravesite and headed home saying, "Well, it's over. It's over. It's beyond hope." And he did this, I believe, not only to show God's glory, as he said, but I believe he did it to show these people that he was the Messiah. You know, I find it interesting that after this event occurred, after Jesus showed up on the 4th day and raised Lazarus from the dead, that a little later on in John chapter 11, starting in verse 45 to about 57, it says that the Jews got together and plotted to kill Jesus. Why? He had raised other people from the dead. They didn't try to kill him after that. And it even goes further in the first part of John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, and it says that they now plotted to kill Lazarus too. Poor guy. Yeah, I mean, he just died. And the Lord's about to bring him back to life, and next thing you know, they're trying to kill him again. Why? Because Jesus proved without a doubt to these people that he was the Messiah. And I'm telling you, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't stand it. And they got together in a meeting and said, guys, we've got to snuff this man out. And they tried to kill both Jesus and Lazarus just to get rid of all the evidence. The Bible says that a lot of people were coming to Jesus because of this event, because of Lazarus. Jesus delayed going to help Lazarus, but there was a reason that he delayed. He had a greater plan in mind. He wanted to wait until all hope was gone to show his greater power. I want to tell you this morning, folks, you can trust God even in the times when he delays. You can trust him. You can trust God even when it seems like he's never going to show up. You can trust him. I wonder how many times during those 4 days Mary and Martha got up and went to the door and looked up that dusty road to see if Jesus was coming. Probably hour after hour after hour. Do you see anything yet? No, nothing. How often in our life do we lift up prayers of desperation for some situation in our life and we cry out to God and we wait day after day and it seems that he's never going to show up? What do we do when we hang all our hope upon him and he seems to not care? It seems that he's not coming. Too often in this life, because of our culture as much as anything else, we want everything now. We don't like delays. But I want to tell you, often God's delays bring about more glory than if he would have shown up immediately in our situation and answered right away. One of the things that we have to do is we have to learn to look beyond the circumstances of the moment. We have to learn to look beyond the problems that are facing us. We have to lift up our eyes and find God's higher purpose in all that he's doing. One of the questions that everybody asks when a loved one dies is, why? That's the wrong question. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. The question is, what? What, Lord? What is your purpose in this? What is your greater plan in all of this? How do you want to work things out in my life to show your glory through this situation? In verse 4, Jesus said, this illness will not end in death, but that God may be glorified through it. God always has a higher purpose in our pain. There's always more than we can see. There's a story of a little girl whose mother was dying, and she called her little girl in and began to talk to her and said, honey, mommy's going to go home soon to heaven. And she began to explain all the beauties and wonders and joys of heaven to try to help her little girl have some comfort. And very soon the mother did die, and the funeral was held. And at the graveside, the little girl walked up and she peered into that big hole in the ground and looked down into that darkness and the dirt. And with tears in her eyes, she looked up at her daddy. She said, Daddy, is that heaven? You see, she couldn't see beyond the grave. She was too young to understand. And how often in life do you and I fail to see beyond the problem, beyond the circumstances that are hurting us so badly? We need to look beyond the problems to see God's eternal purpose. Jesus didn't show up until after Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And I want you to look at verse 21. And see, when he finally did arrive, look at what Martha said to him. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Can you just see her running out to finally see Jesus now after 4 days? And she's had 4 days of frustration and sadness and heartache building up and disappointment that her friend and her Lord did not show up in time. And in essence, what she's saying to him is, "Where were you? Where have you been?" Have you ever been late meeting somebody, your wife or your kids or somebody else, and you weren't able to get in touch with them, and a lot of time went by and you finally showed up and they were so worried about you that they just sort of let it all out? "Where have you been? I've been worried sick." Martha runs out to meet her Lord and it all just pours out in one statement. "Where were you? If only you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. Where were you?" Have you ever asked God that? You know, Jesus doesn't mind if we ask him things like that. Did you know that, folks? The Bible says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Martha says to him, "Where have you been? Why are you so late?" Perhaps there are some in this room who've asked Jesus that very question. "Where have you been, Lord? Where were you? Where were you when my father was abusing me? Where were you when my parents got divorced? Where were you when our baby died? Where were you when my spouse walked out and left me? Where were you when my child turned his back on you and walked away in rebellion? Where were you?" So often in life, it seems that Jesus has disappointed us, that he has not come when we've needed him. But I think it's phenomenal how Jesus turns her attention off of her immediate problem and turns her attention to his glory. Look at it quickly in verse 23. Jesus didn't give her an explanation. He simply said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her in verse 25 some of the most powerful words that he ever uttered during his ministry. Look at it, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." "Oh yes, Lord, I know my brother's going to rise again at the last day in the resurrection." Jesus says, "No, no, Martha. I want you to focus on me. I am the resurrection and the life." He says, "He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then he asks Martha one of the most important questions in life. "Martha, do you believe this?" I love what the King James says. It says, "Believest thou this?" Isn't that great English? He said to her, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And that's really the question, isn't it, folks? That's really the question for all of us, even today. Jesus stands before you this morning on this Easter Sunday in the midst of your hopeless situation, whatever it is. What is it for you this morning? Is it your marriage? Have you tried everything? Have you read every book? Have you talked to every guru? And your marriage is as mixed up as a scrambled egg, and you know it. And you're hopeless. Is it a child who's breaking your heart, and you've done everything you know to do, and nothing is working? Is it your career that is about to kill you, and you're trying to find hope, and you're trying to find help, and nothing is working? The situation seems dead. Jesus stands before you this morning and he says, I want you to get your eyes off of the situation. I want you to focus on me. I want you to look at me and I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you. Yes, your situation seems dead. It seems hopeless. It seems too far gone for help. But I want to tell you, I am the resurrection and the life. I can bring dead things back to life. The question is, do you believe it? Chances are this morning that you fit into one of two groups. Either you identify with Martha and Mary, or you identify with Lazarus. Let me explain. Perhaps you're in the first group, and you identify with Martha and Mary. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Your sins have been forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. You know that without a doubt. But you'd say this morning, Phil, I am facing a situation in my life that I've just given up on. I see it dying right before my eyes. And I've turned everywhere for help. I've tried to finagle it and tweak it and fix it. And it's just getting worse. And it's dying. And there's no hope. Perhaps you're in that group this morning. You find yourself in the place of those two sisters watching that thing in your life, whatever it is, just wither and die. Perhaps you're in the second group. You're not where Martha and Mary were. You're where Lazarus was. You're dead. I don't mean physically dead, I mean spiritually dead. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You may have heard it 1,000 times, but you've turned your back every time and you've walked away. You've never asked Him to come in and forgive your sins and give you eternal life. And this morning, even as you sit here, you're dead in your sins. You're dead to God. I want to tell you, folks, if that's the condition that you're in today, you need to hear me. You are on your way to an eternity separated from God forever and ever. I want to tell you that even though you're dead today, that Jesus stands before you and He says to you, I am the resurrection and life. You believe in me? You'll never die. Do you believe this? You say, Phil, it's too late for me. I've gone too far. I've sinned too much. I'm past the point of hope. You don't know my background. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. I've gone too far. I'm past the 3 days of hope. I'm now in hopelessness. I want to tell you, folks, you can't be too dead for God to bring you back to life. You see, we have the record in Scripture of Jesus raising 3 people from the dead. The first one was Jairus' daughter. He raised her from the dead just moments after she died. The second one is the widow of Nain's son. He was in the coffin in the funeral procession on his way out the city gates when Jesus stopped and raised him from the dead. He'd been dead just a little bit longer. And then we have the story of Lazarus. He'd been dead and buried 4 days. The story tells us a little bit later that he was already starting to decompose. I mean, he was gone. He was beyond dead. But Jesus came to him and he raised him from the dead. You see, the lesson here is, it doesn't matter how long you've been dead in your sins. It doesn't matter how far you've run. It doesn't matter how much you've done against God. None of that matters. Because Jesus is the one who stands before you this morning and says, doesn't matter if you've been dead a few moments, 1 day, 4 days, years, it doesn't matter. I am the resurrection and the life, and if you believe in me, I can give you life this morning, and I can give you life eternal. But you have to call on the Lord. And the Bible says,
Whoever, listen, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But you have to call on Him.
I want to ask our music team to come on up and take their place. And while they're coming, I want to remind you that these sisters, Mary and Martha, cried out to Jesus because they knew that there was nothing and no one else who could help. And although Jesus delayed, His delay brought about a greater purpose than if He had shown up immediately. There may be some area in your life this morning that you feel has already died, and there's just no hope left. The good news of this Easter Sunday is not only that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but that very shortly after that event, Jesus Himself went to the cross, and He died, and He took your sins upon Him, and He took your judgment upon Himself so that you could go free. But then 3 days later, He rose again and came back to life, conquered death once for all so that you might live. This morning, Jesus stands with His arms outstretched to you, saying, "Yes, I know. I know your situation looks dead. But I want to tell you, I am the God who can bring dead things back to life. And I will do it for you this morning if you will only cry out to Me." I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now. And I just want to ask you flat out, we're not going to waste time on this. We're not going to drag this out. I want to ask you this morning, is there anyone here today who is in a hopeless situation? Perhaps it's not even in your life. Maybe it's someone you love so dearly, and you look at that and you say, "Man, I just don't know what to do." Your children, your parents, your siblings. We want to give you a chance to respond this morning. We want to give you an opportunity to come and kneel at the front and spend time in prayer, praying about that situation. And so I'm asking you right now in this moment, if you would say, "Phil, I either identify with Mary and Martha or I identify with Lazarus. There's some situation in my life that is dead and gone, or so it seems. But I want to come this morning and I want to cry out to Jesus and I want to ask Him for hope, either for myself or for someone I love." I want you to stand up right now and I want you to come down front and spend some time praying. Come on, don't let Satan tell you to stay where you are. If you need to take a stand on this today and you need to come and just say, "Lord, I'm bringing this to You this morning the best that I know how. I'm coming before You today and I'm asking You to take this situation. I don't know what else to do. I have nowhere else to turn. I've looked everywhere and there's no hope left." You come right now. The Lord is waiting. He's waiting to meet with you on this Resurrection Sunday and say to you, "Loved one, I can bring dead things back to life. Do you believe this?" Friend, if you're struggling today in a situation, why would you want to wait another day? Why do you want to go on living like you are, trying to put hope into a situation that you know you cannot fix? You need to turn it over to Jesus and take your hands off of it and stop trying to meddle with it. And you need to say, "Lord, I give up today. I surrender. I am no longer going to try to fix this situation on my own. I'm turning to You and I'm asking for Your help. Please, Lord Jesus, please come and help." We'll take just a moment longer as these are praying. Lord, we ask even as these prayers are being lifted up this morning in earnest, there are those kneeling here who are crying out for something in their own life or crying out for something in another person's life that they want so much to see changed. And Lord, we know that you hear every prayer, even though sometimes it seems that you're never coming. The hope of this Resurrection Sunday is not found in things of this world. It's not found in doctors. It's not found in medicines. It's not found in clever books. It's not found in any earthly remedies. Lord, the hope that this Resurrection Sunday brings to us points us only to you. The fact that you rose from the grave and conquered death brings us hope, even in our most hopeless situations this very morning. And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise your name and we thank you for conquering death. Lord, death couldn't handle you. It spewed you out after 3 days and said, I can't take him anymore. Thank you, Father, that you conquered sin and death for us. And that you've called us now to be seated with you in the heavenlies and to reign with you. Oh God, I pray, if there are people here today who have been trying to fix a situation in their life, God, I pray you'd give them the grace to take their hands off of it and to let go and to just ask you to come whenever you can, Lord, and to make it right. Help us to know that you can bring dead things back to life. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us now in these quiet moments. I pray that hearts would be healed. I pray that hope would be restored. I pray, Lord, now, in these closing moments, we would lift our eyes off of our hopelessness and we would look to you for our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.